Welcome to Inside Ag. I'm Greg Deering. Today I'm joined by Dana Woodbury and Dr. Jennifer Ift to talk about the Flinchbaugh Forum at the Bluemont Hotel in Manhattan on September 26th. Dana is Executive Director of the Flinchbaugh Center for Ag and Food Policy at K-State, and Dr. Ift is the Flinchbaugh Agricultural Policy Chair in the College of Agriculture's Department of Agricultural Economics. And when I say Flinchbaugh, I am of course referring to Dr. Barry Flinchbaugh, a longtime educator at Kansas State University, an economist who influenced U.S. farm policy at the highest levels. Welcome, Dana and Jennifer, and thanks for coming on the show today.
It's great to be here, Greg.
Yep, thanks for having us.
Dana, let's have you start and provide an overview of the Flinchbaugh Forum and how it came into being.
Thanks, Greg, for the opportunity to talk a little bit about what the Flinchbaugh Center and how we came to be. Lots of Dr. Flinchbaugh's former students came together and said they really wanted to carry on his legacy and values and how he approached ag policy, as well as continue the pipeline of students from Kansas that want to work in the ag policy industry. And so we're looking at an organization that is carrying on his work of policy education, and it's based on the alternatives and consequences approach. And so the way he would do that is it was always nonpartisan. He wanted to get to the truth and talk about what the issue was. He wanted to have transparent conversation. And through that, you could identify the issue and clarify it, explore it, and have a conversation from all perspectives, and then put together some solutions. And through that process, then consequences were identified. And so that is one thing that the students and the organizers of this, of the Flinchbaugh Center, really wanted to carry forward. I also wanted to mention that our keynote speaker this year is Vance Crow, and he is going to be talking to us about how to have a conversation and what that looks like in ag policy and what that means as we move forward in this area. The title of his presentation is Worthy Adversaries: How to Cultivate Productive Disagreements So That You Can Arrive at Better Ag Policy. So we're really excited to have him in. We also have others from across the industry joining us, including Jason Lusk, who's the College of Agriculture Dean at Oklahoma State University. And I would be remiss not to mention that we have two former Secretaries of Agriculture that are going to talk about where we were with ag policy, where we are now, and what it might look like moving forward. So we're excited to have their perspective and their expertise and give us a chance to interact with them and have dialogue and conversation. And those two secretaries are Dan Glickman as well as Mike Johans.
One of the reasons behind this forum is also to maybe elevate ag policy a little bit, get that a little bit higher on the national radar. What role will this forum play in elevating those issues?
Right. So it's a little hard for me to think about this question because ag policy is at the center of everything that I do, that we both do, in fact. I think the group of people that you have, if we come away with clear messages, if we can kind of show that that's a way of elevating some of the issues. I think if, you know, one of the sort of take homes is that the people working in ag policy are more focused on issues that we think are an important part of the national debate, it gives us a platform to do that.
And you're moderating a panel about national competitiveness in agriculture, focused on trade, workforce, and innovation. These are all longstanding issues in farming, ranching, especially Kansas. I know we hear from members all the time about these issues. What does meaningful or successful change look like, and who's best positioned to lead those changes?
Well, I guess sort of for trade, I think it's, maintaining our competitiveness in different markets. And competitiveness is broad. You compete on cost. You also compete on quality, being someone that's good to do business with. So you look at competitive broadly. You have to maintain market access to do that. In terms of workforce challenges, you could look at this, you know, from the business side. Do you have access, at sort of market wages? Do you have access to the workers you need to run your business, to be competitive, to support your livelihood, to support your family? Also, I think another thing that society broadly cares about is on the side of workers. Are there good, high-paying jobs that pay well, especially in rural areas? So that's another sort of goes hand-in-hand with the workforce issues. On the innovation side, I think this relates directly into both of those issues, but are we going to continue to have the technological change, the sort of the managerial managerial innovations, I guess would be the word I use, to sort of maintain our competitive, maintain our quality of life. So, and I think all of these, I don't know if there's like one person to, I can't think of who leads the charge in terms of one group or one person. I mean, these are all, and I think historically have all been built around coalitions. You know, how you make advances in trade, you need political leadership, but you need lots of groups that benefit from trade and are affected by trade to come together to, you know, to provide that political support. You know, same on the workforce side. A lot of groups that are affected, can they come together? You know, innovation, there's both private and public parts to this. So, you know, historically, our universities and research institutions have played a big role in innovation. But I mean, companies, innovation on the farm, innovation on the ranch, I don't think any of those stand together separately. So I see sort of having, you know, coalitions with shared vision, or at least who understand the commonalities on these issues, which can be contentious, is key.
I know you've mentioned this is going to be kind of like his classroom. There is a mic'd up session over the lunch hour on this where people are going to be encouraged to share personal stories of their interactions with Dr. Flinchbaugh. Do either of you have something that you would like to share? Maybe something you learned from him or a story?
Yeah, you're right. The lunch session is going to have some former ag broadcasters mic'd up. And they're going to talk about their experience interviewing Dr. Flinchbaugh. What was it like to be on the other side of it? And they're going to share some fun stories there as well. I think all of us have a couple of stories in mind. Mine isn't necessarily about what he taught me about ag policy. But my story with Dr. Flinchbaugh was that I was a graduate student, and I would work right outside of his office. And I would know whether he were in the office that day or not. And I stopped by campus to pick up something from my office and parked in his parking spot. And I knew he was out of town that day, but within 15 minutes, I came back and he'd had my car towed. And so for years, he would always say, I towed your car. So that's one of the fun stories I have. But really, it was just about the engagement that we had every time that we talked with him. He paid attention to us. He connected with each person in an individual way. And he found humor in the work that he did and through conversations with people. But Jenny, do you have anything you want to add?
Well, shoot, I don't have anything as good as getting towed. That's a new one. So unfortunately, I was only able to meet Dr. Flinchbaugh once, but I did get to meet him and we had a great conversation. He told me Bob Dole threw a book at him once. I don't remember why. But, you know, since then, you know, unfortunately, he passed away. And as I've took on the title of the Flinchbaugh chair, I can't tell you how many people have told me I have big shoes to fill. And so, and usually that's followed up with a personal story, or, you know, how Barry visited their county and worked with them, or how they connected with him. And so I think the, you know, what Dana said, that he built community, and he really connected to people. And I think that's it's an important part of sort of making change happen, whether it's policy or otherwise. You need people to work together, and you could get a bunch of smart, ambitious people together, you know, in the same room. And if they don't know or trust each other, forget about it. So that's one thing that I like that the center is doing is building that community. And the other part is humor. I can't tell you how many talks I've given on crop insurance and the farm bill and price risk management over you know, the past few years in Kansas. And that is hard. These are complicated policies, and you work so hard to make it clear. And sometimes it doesn't matter. And the more I do it, the more I appreciate that role of humor and being able to engage with people on these important but tough mm-hmm. topics.
And you mentioned kind of getting that critical mass of smart people in the same room, obviously one of the goals of the Flinchbaugh Forum. Where can people go to register, sign up to be in that room and hear this discussion?
Thanks for asking. One of the things I want to point out before I guide people to the registration is that we have three registration options for participants. You can either do a full registration, which includes the day conversations and the activities during the day, as well as the Toast to Flinchball reception from 4 to 6 p.m. And this is going to be a little bit more laid back with an opportunity to make a toast to what Dr. Flinchball meant to each of us. If you can only attend during the day, there's a registration opportunity for that as well. And if you can only make it to the reception, there's a registration option for that. We're really excited about the numbers that we're seeing, but also the quality of the registrants to date. We have 13 states represented from across the United States. And so we're bringing together a community of people that don't always get in the same room together and give them an opportunity to exchange ideas and to start building that community that Jenny talked about. But if you're interested in registering and you haven't done it yet, I encourage you to do it soon because our numbers are filling. And what you do is you go to the Flinchball website, Flinchball Center website at www.flinchballcenter.com, and a box will pop up there. You can also reach me, Dana Woodbury, the executive director, at info@flinchballcenter.com.
Right. And the deadline is September 19th to register, provided there is still space available by then. Once again, the Flinchball Forum will be September 26th at the Bluemont Hotel near Aggieville in Manhattan. Dana, Jennifer, thank you for joining me today.
Greg, thank you for hosting us.
Yep. Thanks for having us.
If you've enjoyed the podcast, please give it a like and share with others. I'm Greg Deering, and this has been Inside Ag from Kansas Farm Bureau, the voice of agriculture.